We're going to start tonight in the book of Joel, if you will. Joel chapter 3 at verse 10. Joel chapter 3 verse 10. I'll give you my title tonight. My title tonight is this: Let the weak say I am strong. I wonder if you'd help me with that title. Say this to somebody. Let the weak say I am strong. Yeah. Praise God. There are times when we all go through things. There are times when no doubt we've all felt weak at different times, at different moments. But there is a remedy, because faith is a lifestyle for the believer. Amen. And I want to thank Chris Taylor and Michelle Marthy. They helped work on all of my graphics for tonight. You don't see them, but they're a very important part of tonight. I want you to give them all a big hand, that whole communications team. They do such a fantastic job, and we appreciate them greatly. As I began to prepare for tonight's message, I felt this down in my spirit: let the weak say I am strong. And as I prayed that out, that led me right here to our beginning scripture. I want to read it in the King James Version. If we can put up the King James Version of this, it's Joel chapter 3, verse 10. Joel chapter 3, verse 10. God is here prophesying in Joel chapter 3 about how he's going to bring his people back, how his people who have been taken into captivity, God is prophesying he's going to bring them back from the north, the south, the east, and the west, that he is going to judge everybody who has come against his people. He's going to bless his people, and he's going to restore the fortunes of his people. And here at 3:10, it says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, and let the weak say, I am strong. I said, God said, let the weak say, I am strong. And there's something that happens in the life of every believer when we train ourselves to be able to say something that God has already said about us. I said, when God says something, then we know it's true. If God says something, we know we can count on it. If God says something, we know it's life. Amen. And our problem is, so often we're saying things that God never said, or we're saying things that we hear around us, or we're saying things based on the circumstances we see in front of us. But when we train ourselves to say what God has said about any given situation, we will come out with the victory. It doesn't matter what it looks like now. It doesn't matter what we're going through. When we train ourselves to say what God has said, we will ultimately come out with the victory. I love the worship set tonight. Our musicians are all so anointed, and we appreciate and thank all of them. And they all do such a fantastic job. And just, singing the night we start tonight, we started out, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, my soul, bless his name. Let all that is within me say, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. You know, music is a powerful, powerful thing. You know what? One reason why music is so powerful, because it gets us saying something when it's spirit-based songs, when it's scripture-based songs, and we start singing those scripture-based songs, it gets you saying what God has already said. You don't even have to think about it. You're singing it, but you're saying what God has already said. And we know this, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. We know it's impossible, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God without faith. We know Galatians 3:11, that the just or the righteous live by faith. Faith is a part of our lifestyle. Everything we do is connected to the anchor of our faith. Amen. And when we start, see, the beautiful thing about music, you start singing, you're essentially saying, you're singing something that God has already said. We sang out there, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Bless his soul, bless his name, oh my soul. Let all that is within me say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I tell you, you sing a song like that, if you're depressed, you won't stay depressed. You start singing that. If you're sad, you won't stay sad. I said it'll lift you up. You know why? You're saying God's word. Yeah. Then we sang, Jireh, you are enough. Singing about how God is more than enough. Said he's more than enough. How many say, God, you're more than enough? Yeah. He's more than enough. And something happens when a believer begins to look at a problem and begins to declare to the problem, my God is bigger than you. He's so much greater than you. We sang, greater than the mountain that's in front of me. You are greater, so much greater. And when you begin to speak to the mountain or sing to the mountain, something's got to change. I said, something's going to break. Something's going to change. Victory's going to come. Because the victory's already been won. Amen. And you might be waiting for the manifestation of your victory. You know the victory's already won. But when you begin to speak God's word, you begin to say God's word, something changes when we say his word. Something changes when we speak his name. Something changes when we say what he's already said about us. The scripture says to you and I that we should not cast away our confession. You know, confession is a very important word in the Bible. Confession, confess, the word confess. Confess. Look at Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 10. Go with me to Hebrews 10:23. Confession. The word confession. Hebrews 10. The word confession is a big word. It's an important word. The Bible talks about confession. Hebrews 10:23. This is the New American Standard. New American Standard. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The Bible says, hold on to your confession. Hold on to your confession. That word confess, confess, confession, it means to say the same thing that God has already said. Confession. Look over at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John 1, 9. That word confession, that's an important word. Confession. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Reading from the New American Standard. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us. To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says if we confess our sins, that word confess, it means to say the same thing that, in other words, when we say the same thing about our sin that God has already said, then he forgives us. We repent and he forgives us. To confess means to say the same thing that God has already said. Look at Romans chapter 10, Romans 10 verse 9, Romans 10 verse 9. That's a big word, confess. Romans 10 verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9, New American Standard. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, confession, with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Yeah. So how does a person get born again? How did you and I get born again? If you're born again, you got born again by confessing. What'd you do? You confess that Jesus was Lord. You confess that he was the Son of God. You confess that God raised him from the dead. Amen. And then what'd you do? You believed in your heart. You believed in your heart. You spoke with your mouth. You confessed. You said the same thing that God has said. To confess is to declare the same thing that God has already said. The Bible said, don't cast not away your confession. Don't cast away your confession. Hold tight to your confession. Say the same thing God has already said. What's the title of this message? Let the weak say, I am strong. Well, what's your first point? My first point is, what did he say? What did he say? You see, we have to, if we're going to walk in victory, and if we're going to say what God has said, then we have to, first of all, we have to review and become convinced of something he's already said. I said, amen. We know how the world was created. God did what? He spoke and it came into being. He spoke this world into existence. Yeah. And so the first thing we have to examine is what did he say? And there's something wonderful that happens to a Christian that can concentrate, that can meditate, that can pay strict attention to something that God has said. When a Christian refuses to be distracted and they have their spiritual eyes on something that God has said, that's a blessed man or woman right there. They will not be denied. And they may be waiting on some manifestation, but their manifestation will come. They'll walk right on into victory. So often we begin saying something that God has said, and then we get distracted by circumstance. We get distracted by trouble or by pain or by people, and then we stop saying what God has already said. But if we won't become separated from what God has said, if we'll stick to what God has said, oh, we'll walk right into the victory every single time. The first thing we have to examine tonight is what did he say? What did he say? And if we look, go with me to Genesis chapter 17. Let's examine something. One of the first things we have to examine is, what did the Lord say? Anything you're going through, anything you need from God, one of the first things you have to examine is, what did he already say about that? What did he say about it? What did he say about it? I remember, you know, thinking of my sweet mama's voice. I think I had just got my license is what had happened. And my sisters were gone, and it was going to be the first time I was going to be home by myself. And my parents were going out of town, and as a family we talked and discussed it. And my parents approved I was going to be home for the weekend by myself for the first time. And I think I had just got my license. And they also approved I wanted to go to a party, a house party. Back in the 70s, you know, we used to, and back in the world, we'd go back to these house parties that we'd be trying to shake them down at the house party. And so... So my parents approved I could go to the party, and after the party I was to come home, and then I was going to spend the weekend at home, and everything was a go. And so I drove to the party, and so the party is it's somebody's big basement. Back in Jersey, they got a lot of houses. They don't have houses in basements out here, but back in Jersey, they got houses full of big basement, and the basement's packed. You know, there's 100, 150 people. They're packed into the basement. Lights out, and you got shades on, dark shades. All right, I'm down there at the party. My parents have gone, and I'm down there at the party. You know, we're down. One of my friends came by and said, "Bill, your mom looking for you." I said, "Well, this was back in the days, you know." I said, "Well, your mom is looking for you." I went on dancing, you know, and. A few minutes later, somebody said, "Your mom's is here." I said, "Your mom's is here." I went on shaking them down. But after a few minutes, I heard a voice that put me in holy terror. It was a voice that ascended above the loud music. It was my mama's voice saying, "Bill, Bill." She was walking around in the dark. "Bill, Bill, get out of the way. Bill." I said, "Oh, Lord, oh, Lord." I tried to get away from that voice. "Oh, Lord, that's my mama. She at the party. Oh, Lord." I tried to run from the voice. I couldn't run from it. My mom said, "Bill." Oh, man. She finally found me. I said, "Mom, what are you doing here? This is embarrassing." She said, "Oh, boy, don't worry about being no embarrassed." She was something. I forgot the key to the house. "You forgot the key. Your daddy's outside, and so I came down here to give you the key." And then some guy, oh, I'll never forget this. Oh, man. Some guy tapped her on the shoulder and said, "Hey, baby, you want to dance?" She said, "No, fool, I don't want to dance. Get away from me." I said, "Oh, Lord. Get me out of here. Oh, Lord." It was the worst party experience I ever had. Running from my mama's voice. Sometimes people hear the voice of the Lord and they go the other way. Sometimes people can hear the Lord saying something and they go the other way when the Lord told them something. You know the Lord spoke to you, they go the other way. Like me at that party, trying to get away from my mama's voice. But you're not going to get away from the voice of the Lord. And it pays when you listen to that voice. And it pays when you listen to that voice so close that you begin to echo what the voice of the Lord is saying to you. And you begin to crescendo what the Lord is saying to you. I preached a sermon a while back. The Lord's voice is His word, and the word is the Lord's voice. And when we get the word of the Lord on the inside of us, something powerful happens when we begin to speak it and to declare it. And Psalm 107, we're going to say in Genesis 17. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, "The redeemed of the Lord, let the redeemed of the Lord say so."
And God wants the people that he's redeemed, the people that he set free. He don't want us to sit silent like a bump on a log. God wants us to say something about it. He wants us to declare, hey, I'm redeemed. Hey, I'm saved. Hey, I've been bought by the blood. Hey, I'm blood bought. I'm blood washed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hey, I'm declaring that God has saved me. God has filled me. God has healed me. God has delivered me. God gets the glory when somebody will turn and say, hey, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And I'm saying so. I'm going to tell it everywhere I go. That the Lord has saved me. The Lord has redeemed me. The Lord has set me free. I've been set free by the power of God. God gets glory when a Christian will stand and say, I am one of those redeemed folks. I've been redeemed by the blood. Sometimes people are ashamed to say, well, I've been redeemed. Okay, I've been redeemed. But God loves it when we'll stand and declare it. I've been redeemed. Let the weak say, I am strong. The first thing we have to examine. What's the first thing we have to examine? What did God say? What did he say? Where did I tell you to go? Genesis 17? Oh, man, Abraham had to learn this lesson. What did God? In Genesis 17, here's the story. I love it because, first of all, Genesis 17, 1. Now, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. I like that. The phrase here, he actually says, I am El Shaddai. I said, I like that. God told Abraham, I'm El Shaddai. I'm God Almighty. He was saying, in effect, I'm the God who's more than enough. You're not just dealing with some human entity. You're dealing with the God of the universe. And I am El Shaddai, he was saying. He was saying, I'm the God who's more than enough. I'm God Almighty. I like that. And anytime a Christian will stand and say that God Almighty is my Savior, God Almighty is my Father, God Almighty is my strength, something happens, something changes. You will change the atmosphere right around. The atmosphere will change. Circumstances will change. People will change. Situations will change. He told Abraham, I'm El Shaddai. I'm God Almighty. And then he said to him, walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be a father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. And when God tells him this, he's 99 years old. God tells him, I've made you a father of many nations, and Abraham doesn't have any children, and he's 99 years old. Oh my. Well, it is impossible for that to happen unless you're dealing with El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. And unless the person who told you that is God Almighty. Because if God Almighty told you that, then it'll surely come to pass. And he told Abraham, we've got to change what you say. Let the weak say I'm strong. He told Abraham, I've got to change the words coming out of your mouth. And I'm going to have to change your name from Abraham, from Abram to Abraham, we just read. Change your name. He wanted him to say his name. The father, I'm the father of nations. I'm the father of a multitude. Every time he said his name, they said, who are you? I'm the father of a multitude. You'd seen him at church. You'd say, hello, I'm Bill. What's your name? My name is the father of a multitude. You see him down there on the job. Hey, I'm Joe. Who are you? I'm the father of a multitude. You see him out there at the bus stop. Who are you? I'm the father of a multitude. He kept saying something that God had already said. See, it would have been one thing for Abraham to say something he had conceived of himself, but Abraham was saying something that God himself had already said. And there's power in what God says. I said there's power in what God says. When God says it, he means it. And when God says it, he'll do it. And when God says it, he'll bring it to pass. And it can look unlikely, and it can look unhopeful, and it can look like it's not going to happen. But if God said it, God will bring it to pass. And God said, you go there to Broken Arrow, and I'll sustain you there. And you've arrived to see that this is like no place on earth. And you've arrived to say, this is so different than my hometown. But if God said it, he'll do it. If he said, I'll sustain you, he'll bring you through. He told Abraham, I'm going to change your name. And we have to know, first of all, what did he say? Because sometimes it can seem so unlikely. Over in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 18, we see that Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed. Down at verse 13, it says, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am old? Then God said this, verse 14, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Woo! God Almighty said, is there anything too difficult for me? He told Abraham, your wife Sarah laughed about it because it seemed so unlikely that something that I said was going to come to pass. But God was really saying, if I said it, I'll do it. And you see, Abraham gained confidence in God's ability to do what he said. I said, Abraham gained confidence in God's ability to do what he said. And that's why when we get over to the New Testament in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, it says that God calls those things that be not as though they were. And Abraham learned how to do that same thing. He learned how to call things that were not as though they were. How did he learn that? Following his father God. How did he learn that? Saying what God had already said. He convinced himself that God is fully capable of bringing to pass everything that he said. And if God spoke it, if God said it, if God declared it, I'm going to put it on my mouth and I'm going to speak it and I'm going to declare it and I'm going to say it and watch it come to pass. What did he say? It's right here in his word. 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has put exceeding great and precious promises in his word. And he expects you and I to go and cling to those promises. Let the weak say, I am strong. Look at somebody and say, let the weak say, I'm strong. Yeah. See, let the sick say, I'm well. See, let the broke say, I'm blessed. See, let the jobless say, I've got a job. Yeah. When we begin to declare God's word out of our mouth, you see, as we speak God's word, it activates our faith. Now, no doubt we have to believe it in our heart. We have to believe it in our heart. But can I say this to you? If we say something long enough, eventually we'll believe it. I say, even if we'll say it long enough, eventually we'll believe it. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, what did he say? Because if we'll take what he said and simply begin to repeat what he said, if we'll parrot what he said, it'll come to pass in our life. Of course, you know the story. Sarah and Abraham had a child and they had to name him Isaac. Laughter. Isaac means laughter. Because it seemed laughable, it seemed so ridiculous, it seemed so unlikely, except for one thing, that God Almighty said it. And when they believed it, it came to pass. I said, if you'll believe what he told you, if you'll believe his word, it'll come to pass. I remember when my wife had left me and I was lonely. I was single 7 years. And I remember those early days right after she left, being lonely. And I remember the Lord having me turn to Isaiah 40, chapter 27. And I read about how his wisdom is inscrutable and how he gives strength to the weary. And those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. And I remember reading down through those scriptures, 27 through 31 of Isaiah 40. Again and again and again, I read that. And I remember saying to the Lord, I need your strength. I'm lonely. Just the empty walls of the house. And I remember the Lord, I don't know how many times I read it. I read it again and again. Sometime after 10 times, I read it, and then I felt like the Lord said, read it again. I read it. He said, read it again. I read it. He said, read it again. I said, Lord, I see the same thing. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. I said, Lord, I need supernatural strength. I'm feeling lonely. I need your strength. This is what I felt. Read it again. I read it again. I said, Lord, I see the same thing. I need your strength. I see the same thing. Read it again. I read it again. Read it again. I read it again. Read it again. I read it again. I don't know how many times I read it. It was sometime after 10 times. I know that. But however many times I read it, then the Spirit of God said this down on the inside. You're trying to get renewed strength with an unrenewed mind. And if you will renew your mind in this area, I will renew your strength. And I got busy right then that night. Turn to Hebrews 13:5. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we, listen now, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you're not fearing anything, you're lonely. Switch out that word fear and put the word lonely in there. I said, oh, I see. So he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that I can confidently say, I will not be lonely. The Lord is my helper, and I will not be lonely. The Lord is my helper, and I will not be. I can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be lonely. I can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be lonely. I can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord's my helper. The Lord's my helper. He's faithful. The Lord is my helper. I can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be lonely. Bill will not be lonely. The Lord is my helper, and I will not be. The Lord is my. And God, oh, I went to sleep saying that. And when I woke up, I felt like I rolled out of bed, went on down to my knees with my hands in the air and said, Lord, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. I felt a mantle of strength on me. I was single 7 years, so I met this pretty lady down here. I'm a blessed man today. Woo! God did what he said. Let me wrap this up for you. We have to first know, what did he say? We have to secondly know, what do they say? Because what they say is always can be so negative. And there can be people around you who can try to tell you that God didn't mean what he said. Turn to Judges chapter 6 real quick. Go with me real quick. Let's run over to Judges. Go past Numbers. Right after Joshua. It's the book of Judges chapter 6. I'll paraphrase because we're toward the end of our time. It's Gideon. It's the story of Gideon. And it's the story of how the Midianites are destroying everything that Israel does. It's so bad, Israel's hiding their crops, and the Lord appears to Gideon. You remember, the Lord appears to Gideon, and he says, the Lord calls Gideon a mighty man of valor. And Gideon looks around and says, who are you talking to? I'm no mighty man of valor. He says, I'm the least in my family. My family is the least tribe in Israel. I'm no mighty man of valor. Let the weak say I'm strong. I said, let the weak say I'm strong. And Gideon had his ears and his eyes more on the Midianites than he did on God's word. His eyes were so clued to the Midianites, God tells him in this chapter, Judges 6, he finally tells him, he says, go down there to the Midianite camp in Judges chapter 7. I'm not going to read that, but verse 15, Judges 7, 15, you can read that later. He tells Gideon, go down to the Midianite camp if you won't get your eyes on me. Go down to the Midianite camp and listen to what the Midianites are saying. And he goes to the Midianite camp, sneaks up there, and puts his ear to one of the Midianites' tents. He's afraid of the Midianites. And one of the Midianites wakes up and says, oh, I had a dream, to the other Midianite. And he said, what'd you dream? And he said, I dreamt that Israel, a loaf of barley came crashing through our camp. And the other one said, oh, that's Israel. Israel's going to annihilate us. And they were afraid of Israel. And Gideon could hear, the enemy's actually afraid of me. He left there walking like George Jefferson. Google it. I don't have time to go there. He left there with a confidence that God could do what he said he could do. And God took 32,000 men all the way down to 300 men and delivered Israel with Gideon as their leader. Because God said, let the weak say, I am strong. You have to know what he said. You have to know what did they say. And finally, you have to know, what do you say? As I close tonight, it's really about what do you say? Because we're either going to say what they said, people who don't believe God's word, people who doubt, or we're going to believe what he said. But it's our choice whose words we're going to put in our mouth. And if we put God's word in our mouth, we're going to walk in victory every single time. David said in the Psalms 37, he said, I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, their seed begging bread. Verse 25. My friend, no matter what you're going through, there is a principle of life. There is a principle of faith. There is a principle of scripture that we have to say what God has said. We have to believe it in our heart, but we have to speak and declare what God has said. The essence of Mark 11, 22 through 24 is believing in the heart and speaking with the mouth. God has put authority. God has put power in your mouth. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, if you'll get a promise from God's word, and if you'll put that in your mouth and believe it in your heart and say, let the weak say I'm strong, or let the sick say I'm healed, or let the broke say I'm blessed, or whatever it is, if you'll declare what God says, you'll walk in victory every single time. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much tonight for all of your goodness, all of your blessing. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the sick say I'm healed. Let the broke say I'm blessed. Let the chaotic say I'm filled with peace. Let those who are seeking direction say I've got direction by faith. Let the weak say I'm strong. So we thank you for your healing power. We thank you for your regenerative power. We thank you for your delivering power. We thank you for your saving power. We give you all the glory. We say simply what you have already said through your word. You said we're blessed, we're strong, we have strength. You said we're not alone. You said we're whole and delivered and healed. So we say what you've already said and give you the glory for it all in Jesus' name. If you're here tonight and you need something from the Lord, our prayer workers are here, our prayer team members, we're all just one family here. And these are anointed men. And these are anointed ladies. Don't you appreciate them? Give them a big hand. They've come prayed up, ready to minister to you tonight. And if I needed agreement with about anything, I would come to one of these folks. And you know how we do it. If you're a guy, come to the guys. And if you're a girl or a lady, come to one of these ladies. But you won't leave here like you came. Whatever your human condition, find out what God says and make his words your words. And you'll walk in victory every single time. Make sure you're here Wednesday night, Hour of Power, and then Sunday morning, School of the Bible Hour, and then another great sermon Sunday morning, 10 a.m. All right, God bless you. We love you. You are dismissed.